Well, good morning. Glad to have most of us back together again. It's been a while since we've all been able to be here at once, and after this Sunday, I guess it'll be a while again. Sounds like Laura's going to be doing some traveling, but it's a blessing to be together. It's a blessing to join together to praise the Lord and to remember the things He's done for us, and I was really blessed this morning, just listening and thinking as Brother Aaron was finishing up Psalm 119. The last verse was just really, really touched me. Psalm 119, verse 176. He says, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." And it's such a real, honest statement of a man who truly desires with all his heart, as he said throughout the entirety of Psalm 119, he desires with all his heart to honor God and to obey God. And he loves the Word of God. He loves the Lord's commandments. He has a respect and a care for them, and he does his best to observe them. But here, in a very honest, raw moment, he says, "I fail. I fail miserably. I am like a little lost sheep that's constantly going off this way and going off that way. I love your word. I want to follow your word. I want to keep your word. But you're going to have to help me. You're going to have to keep bringing me back." And I don't think this is a one-time type of a statement here. You know, I was lost. He doesn't say, I was gone astray at one time, and so I'm hoping that, you know, you will have brought me back or will bring me back from that one time. I think this is more of a continuing idea of, hey, this is my tendency. As much as I love your commandments and my desire in my heart is to follow you, yet I am weak and I'm always drifting off. Bring me back. Bring me back. Bring me back. And that's truly, I think, if we're honest with ourselves, the experience of every single one of us. Because we are in a frail body of flesh, which is prone to sin and prone to not doing and not loving and not following and not obeying the things that God wants us to love and to care about and to prioritize. And so, in this life, this is a constantly needed prayer. Lord, bring me back again. Seek me again. I beg you, my dear shepherd, seek me again and bring me back again, because I've strayed yet again. And I love that, how he doesn't end here just with a statement of, hey, I'm going to do it, because he knows that's not possible. He's not going to perfectly do it. He ends the whole of this beautiful psalm of extolling and bringing to memory the goodness of God and His Word. He ends it by saying, hey, I love your Word and I want to follow it, but you're going to have to help me because I can't do it. And that's where we all need to be every day. I find myself needing to be there constantly. Lord, I messed up again. I really want to follow you better. I really want to be more obedient. I really do love your word. I really desire to be in line with it, but I'm not capable and I can't do it. So I'm asking you again, coming again, saying, Father, help me again to refine the path, to reestablish my feet on your ways. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you, Lord, for each one of my dear brothers and sisters and church family that are here with us this morning. Lord, I thank you for your blessing on us. Lord, truly, we are blessed beyond measure and beyond really understanding and recognition of it, Lord. We're not capable of fully understanding and recognizing all that you do for us on a daily basis. But Lord, our hearts and our desire is to be drawn back again and again to live our lives in accordance with what we desire and what we have embraced and what we have chosen in our spirits, Lord, that you would give us the grace and the strength and the ability to walk that out on a day-to-day basis. Lord, I pray now as we open your word that you would speak to our hearts, that you would encourage, challenge, point out, Lord, to each one of our hearts where we need to dig in and take hold and take responsibility and seek you more. Just pray these things in your precious name. Amen. I want to open this morning with reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. 2 Timothy. Paul here writing to his son in the faith, who he loved very, very dearly, as we can see very clearly through all of both of his letters. He loved Timothy very much, and he calls him his son, and that's not just because Paul was the one who God used to bring Timothy to salvation, but I think that was part of it. But I think that he also very, very much loved Timothy as though he had been his own physical son. Paul was, as far as we know, at least when he's writing most of his epistles, he seems to be a single man. Whether he had been married at one point or not, we're not given that information. Some people say you couldn't be on the Sanhedrin if you weren't, so he would have had to have been at one point, but clearly when he's writing in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, he's not at that point. Anyway, whatever the case, we don't have any record that he had any children, and here Titus and Timothy both he has taken as his sons, and he loves them dearly. So he writes to Timothy here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And this morning I want to look at this parallel that he makes here between the Christian life and being a soldier in the military. A soldier is it's necessary for him to be ready to be called out to go to war at any time. When he's getting ready to go into basic training and go into his active duty time in particular, many times they will sell, you know, their vehicles, they'll sell a lot of things in order to just simply not have those things on their plate to deal with or to worry about or to try to keep track of while they're abroad. And also, if something is to happen to me while I'm gone, my family doesn't have to try to figure out what to do with all that stuff. If you're a married man going to war, you might not pare down quite as much because your family's still going to need things to take care of themselves while you're gone. But it's going to be difficult to focus on the job at hand as a soldier if you're too wrapped up in what's back home. And here, Paul makes the analogy of us here as soldiers on a battlefield fighting for the Lord and heaven being like our home and saying, hey, don't get tangled up in the affairs of this life so that you can please him who has called you to be a soldier. And this can be difficult to do. This can be very difficult to do. I find this quite challenging many times, many weeks. It's easy for a whole week to go by all just consumed with the things of this life. A soldier has to still eat. He has to still drink. He has to still sleep. He has to still do the basic physical things in order to maintain his life and his health. But yet, he has to distance his heart and his affections from those things enough that they don't consume him and become his life to the point where he can't do his job as a soldier. If he's all wrapped up and consumed in what's going on back home, he's going to have a hard time focusing and being efficient at his job. If he's all wrapped up in what the latest score is from such and such a game, or he's continuing to try to maintain continuity in things that don't have anything to do with his soldier life, it can very much distract him from the energy and the time and the effort that he ought to be putting into his soldier life. Now, he still can have people at home that he loves, and he's going to want to hear news from them. But he has to a certain extent, keep himself from getting all wrapped up completely in those things. In the same way, in the Christian life, we have to be careful not to become overly entangled with the affairs of this life. We live in this world. There's no way around that. We have to eat. We have to drink. We have to sleep. In order to eat, in order to have a place to sleep, we have to, pay rent. We have to be able to pay our bills. We have to be able to buy the food. We have to be able to prepare the food. So we have to have, a stove and a fridge. And we have to be able to go to work to earn the money we need for those things. So we have to have a vehicle. And there's all these things that it's really not possible to completely unentangle ourselves from in a way of just making it, we can't live like a hermit in the hills. Some people have done that, and they weren't really living a life for the most part that was being a witness and a testimony to the people around them, because there were no people around them. we see the, different groups of monks and stuff like that trying to separate themselves as much as possible from the physical world that they lived in, trying to be more holy and be less entangled with the things of this world. But because of the fact that they were simply trying to physically take themselves out of that situation, it wasn't possible to actually be the witness and the testimony on a daily basis that God wants us to be. It wasn't possible to fulfill their daily commitments without also having to fight against the flesh. There's no way in this life to avoid the fact that we're going to have to battle against our own fleshly desires and will and love for things that aren't necessarily always bad, but also aren't of high value spiritually or eternally a lot of times. And there is space to enjoy this world. God made this world very beautifully, and he made it for us to enjoy. He gave us all kinds of blessings there's no problem with us enjoying. We simply have to learn how to keep our hearts unentangled. And that can be a challenging thing to do. As we look at the way that Christ lived his life, he loved people here on earth very much. He loved his disciples. He cared about Martha and Mary and Lazarus very much. And all these various people, he loved them not just as the Savior of the world loving every person, but he loved them as friends, as somebody who had come in deep into his heart. And that brings with it a certain amount of responsibility and a certain amount of care and doing things for them. That's not a bad thing. But he also managed to keep those things in the proper balance and perspective with the purpose he was here and where he was going, that ultimately he's going to the cross and he's going to have to leave these ones that he loves and he's going to have to try to prepare them for that. We don't see Christ becoming overly entangled in the things going on in his day. He wasn't out making speeches against the Romans or trying to get overly involved in the politics of the day or all the various things going on around in the world. he wasn't ignorant of those things. When they came and they asked him about taxes and about the relationship with the Romans, he had wisdom to give to them in answer to their questions. He wasn't disconnected. It wasn't like he was a hermit living out just pretending that the rest of the world didn't exist. But he also didn't have his heart set on those things. Even when we read at one point where there was multiple people who appear to make a profession of wanting to love him and follow him, it says in one spot, I believe it's in John, that he didn't bind himself to them because he knew their hearts, that they weren't necessarily as committed as they thought they were and as they said they were. He loved them, and he was, of course, happy to see any steps and progression towards God, but he also wasn't getting himself, he wasn't investing his heart and his courage, his strength into those things and trying to draw his life from that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, he says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections," or your love, your attraction, your care, "on things above, not on things of the earth. For we are dead, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Here, the Apostle Paul is encouraging the Colossians, hey, don't get wrapped up unduly in the things of this world, in the things of this life. Set your love, set your affection on the things above, on the things in heaven, the things of God, the things that we're working towards, the things that will help you to achieve and to reach the goal of when he shall appear, we shall appear with him and we shall be like him. He's challenging them here, not by any means that they can take themselves out of the world. They can't get away from the fact that they have to do basic daily stuff, but yet don't set your affections on those things. Don't make that your purpose for living. Don't allow that to consume the very reasons why you do the things that you do. The reasons why you do the things that you do should be based on heavenly priorities. They should be based on eternity. They should be based on pleasing God, on being in line with his word. And the things of this life are going to need some attention. They're going to need some hard work many times. But don't set your affections on those things. This is what Jesus was getting at in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through 25, when he says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Now, I don't believe Jesus here is advocating that you shouldn't do the things that are necessary for life, especially as a provider for your family. He tells us, Paul tells us, that if a man provides not for his own, he's worse than an infidel. So he's not saying here, don't plan ahead. He's not saying here, don't do the things that are necessary to provide for yourself and for your family. We're told that every one of us ought to be able to work, we ought to work hard enough to provide for ourselves and our needs and our family, and to have to give to others also. So he's clearly not saying that. But what he is getting at here is the love issue. He says you cannot love or serve two masters. He says you will love one and hate the other, or you'll hold to one and despise the other. You can't divide your affections. You're going to have to divide your time. You're going to have to divide your energy. You're going to have to divide all of these natural physical resources that you have. You're going to have to divide them between the things of God and the things of this life, but don't divide your affections. Don't become entangled with the affairs of this life. He says, the life is more than meat, and the body's more than raiment. It's more important than those things. Those things are important. Those things are important. But it's more than that. And those things can't be what your heart and your love and your mind is wrapped up in. In John chapter 15, verse 18 through 19, Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Many times our tendency is to start to try to minimize that a little bit, to make the world hate us a little bit less, to make ourselves a little bit less not of this world, in order that we might be able to more freely do the things we need to do and have acceptance from the people around us. That's a natural human tendency. Humans naturally want to be accepted and received and cared about. And he's warning us here and instructing us here and reminding us here, hey, you're not of this world. This world isn't going to ever satisfy. It's not ever going to really feel like home. And it's not supposed to. You're not of this world. I'm not of this world, and I've adopted you into my family, so you're not of this world. I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Skip on over to John chapter 17. Jesus here praying to his Father. Many beautiful things he prayed for us as believers, for us as Christians who love him and follow him. But in John chapter 17, verse 14 through 18, he says, I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. He says, Father, I'm not praying that you would remove them from the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. You and I are going to live in this world for as long as we're alive in our human flesh. And we have to live in this world. Jesus says, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. I'm asking you to protect them and to keep them and to guard them from the evil of this world. We're going to have to live this life. But we don't have to become wrapped up and involved in it. We don't have to take onto ourselves the priorities of the world around us. We don't have to love the things that they love. We don't have to pursue the same goals that they pursue. We don't have to make the same kind of decisions and react the same kind of a way that everybody else around us does. We are expected to be different. And Christ here says that this is accomplished through his word. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So how can I be purified or sanctified from these desires and the evil that's in the world that's constantly pulling at me? He says here, it's through God's truth, which comes through the word. And I have to spend a significant enough amount of time in it and thinking about it and taking it and absorbing it and applying it to my life in order for it to be able to sanctify me. If I'm spending 99.9% of my time in the mud and then I'm spending 0.01% of my time trying to wash off, I'm going to spend 99.9% of my time dirty. You're going to have to go out and you're going to have to get dirty in this world that we live in. But come back. Come back. Come back to the word. Be washed. Be sanctified. And don't set your affections and your desires and your love and your care on the things that are passing away. Don't be entangled. He says you've been called to be like a soldier who's out in a foreign country fighting for your king. Don't get wrapped up in the things that are going around there to the point that you can't do the things that your king expects you to do and has called you to do. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 puts this very, very clearly and condensed. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't allow your heart and your mind and your attitudes to be shaped and formed by it. Don't become like this world, which you are called to be an ambassador in, which you are called to be a soldier in. Don't become entangled with those things. Don't begin to change and to shape your understanding of the Word of God based on the common understanding of your day. Don't begin to change and soften what you feel like might hurt people's feelings and step on their toes in order to please them when the Word of God is clear on subjects. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be changed. Be renewed in your mind. Be sanctified through the Word of God. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, he says, love not the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You got to be in it, but don't love it. Don't set your affections on it. Don't get all wrapped up in it. Don't spend all your time and energy and love and care on things that are going to pass away. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's pretty clear. That's a pretty bold statement. You can't serve two masters. You can't invest and place all of your care and affection into this life and expect that you're going to have anything left to invest into the things of God. You can't. It's not going to work. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. It's going to be dissolved. It's going to be gone. And the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's where you and I need to be, brothers and sisters. And it's a daily, hourly challenge and takes an active care to be in this world but not of this world, to invest the time and the energy and the effort into the things we need to do without investing our affections into them. It takes an active guarding and keeping and watching. It takes sufficient time in the Word of God. It takes sufficient time in prayer. It takes sufficient letting the Spirit and the power of the Lord work and move through you and in you. You and I can't do this on our own. We're not going to accomplish this on our own. But this is probably our greatest challenge as believers. Not to be entangled. Not to get wrapped up in everything that we live in day to day. Not to get wrapped up in it. Not to allow it to divert our attention, not to allow it to become all-consuming, not to allow it to steal our love and our affection for the Lord, for His things. I have to get up and go to work in the morning. I have to work hard all day to provide for my family, to pay my bills. There's so many things I have to do that are physical that consume a huge portion of my energy and my time. And I hate that, but that's life. That's part of being in this world. And there will come a day when we're going to be freed from that. And we're going to be able to enjoy unhindered, uninhibited fellowship with our Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ and with each other. And we're never going to have to go, well, time's up. We got to leave the community center and see you guys next week. Or time's up. We got to go to work. See you when I get a chance. We're going to be able to freely continue on and on for as long as we want in fellowship, in friendship, in singing praises, and then go over here and start fresh with a different group of folks. And we won't be hindered and limited by this body that needs sleep and that needs food and that needs water and that needs oxygen and all of those things. But yet, we're not there yet. We are in a foreign country as a soldier. who's called by his master, who's called by his king to serve and to fight and to push forward God's purposes in this world. You and I have to keep ourselves from getting so entangled with and in love with the world around us that we quit being good ambassadors, that we quit being good soldiers. That's actually one of the most dangerous things about men and women who get sent overseas as ambassadors for countries, is eventually if they stay in the same country for too long, there's a huge chance they're going to begin to like that country and fall in love with that country and build enough connections with the people of that country to the point where eventually they're not really seeking the good of their home country anymore. They're trying to figure out how to make this side really happy and keep them from getting mad back home. That's the same things we have to guard against. That's the same temptations we have to be careful of, because we are ambassadors and we're going to live our whole lifetime here in a foreign country. Here in a place that is contrary to all that our king desires. A place that is contrary to his ways and his will. A place where they belittle and look down on and mock our king and think he's an idiot. I don't want to obey him and don't want to follow him and don't want to serve him. And we have to reach out with compassion and with love and try to point them to our Father, but yet not get wrapped up in it, in this world, in this life. That's a challenge. It's a challenge. But we're not of this world. If we've been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, if we've been adopted into the family of God, we don't have a part here anymore in this world system. Let us strive daily to learn to live like that's the reality of our lives. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a challenge. It is. It is. But through sanctifying ourselves in the Word of God regularly and daily and guarding and watching and keeping and being aware of these things, reminding ourselves of these things, and even praying like the psalmist in Psalm 119, hey, I'm like a little lost sheep. I went astray again. Seek me and bring me back, I pray. You might have to pray that prayer a dozen times a day. But don't lose focus of where your home is. This world is not intended to feel like home. It's not intended to be your home. Don't allow yourself to become entangled to in it to the point where you can't love God, and where you're trying to serve two masters, and to where you love this world and the love of the Father's not in you. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that you would instruct our hearts. Lord, thank you for your word and how clear it is. I pray, Father, that you would keep us by your truth. Keep us by your word. Lord, warn us. Set off the alarms and the warning signals in our hearts and our minds when we begin to allow our affections to drift. Father, I pray you would draw us back as that little lost sheep again and again as we go astray. Father, that we would be brought back and that we would be washed and that we would be cleansed and that we would be able, Lord, by your power and your grace to walk in a way that is pleasing to you in this world, but not of this world. In Jesus' name, amen.